a few thoughts from that in this kind of housekeeping season. But first, let me pray. Lord, we've been chewing over the last few weeks these words of Paul to this church in Colossae. And we ask by your Spirit you take those words written then and kind of roll them through the centuries to apply to us here now. Feed us, guide us, direct us, challenge us. For your name's sake, amen. Amen. I really just want to, we've been chewing over these verses the last few weeks. I've nearly got to the stage when I know them off by heart. It's not bad sometimes just to memorize portions of scripture. You just carry it with you and allow it to percolate and resonate in your life. Just this verse here, verse 5, in the middle of this paragraph. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And if you've been away the last few weeks, or if you're new here, or wondering whether this is the kind of church you'd like to be a part of, what we've been doing in this little season in September, and you'll see, incidentally, from October onwards, we start a new teaching series on Exodus, and the term really gets underway. And in September, just sort of gathering everyone back from holidays and so on, rehearsing our God-given vision. We believe God has given us this picture to inhabit. Every single one of us playing a part to glorify him, to make him look good by being the Christ-centered family in Parsons Green. And I've had a sort of picture of a triangle to sort of illustrate that or demonstrate that pictorially. Last week I talked about tilting that triangle, which sounds an odd thing to do. And I guess if you weren't here last week and you missed that, all I can do is encourage you to get onto our website and down the side, recent sermons, click on that. And you'll see tilting the triangle. And if you can download that and listen to it, it'll help as we understand what the triangle is and how we tilt it. God might be calling us to tilt it at this time. But essentially, it's what is it that God is uniquely calling us as a church and each of us as individuals to be and to do? How does he want us to live right now? And what's my part in that picture? How can I contribute? How he's uniquely made me to contribute to life here at St. Dionys. And this morning, I just wanted to really do a bit of a refresher on how we might resource all that we feel and sense God is calling us to do here as a church. Tremendously exciting, hugely exciting at the plans and the prospect of how the kingdom rolls out here. But how are we to resource it? Because if I can just slay one myth that sometimes goes around from time to time, we don't receive any central funding from the diocese, from the sort of the central church. It's not this great big pot, this sort of avuncular figure generously sort of dishing out handouts and cash to the local church for us to sort of lavishly spend. We don't get any central funding. And actually, because of our overtly Christian nature, we are automatically, any kind of charitable organizations and funding and so on, because of what we stand for, we're actually barred from drawing on, you know, charitable resources and so on as well. So actually, here at a church, in order to fund what we think God is seeking us to do and to live out in this area, we rely basically on the generosity and the sacrificial obedience of giving from the congregation. We rely on you, for which, if I may say, we are extremely grateful. I know for some of you, it's a very challenging time at the moment with the recession and so on. It's you know, money is tight, and I recognize that. And the continued, obedient, sacrificial giving in order to fund and resource that which we feel God is calling us to do is remarkable. And I want to say thank you. I don't know how much people give. I have an awareness of sort of who gives. I don't know how much. I don't want to know. I don't think it's for me to know, other than just to know there is an extraordinary amount of generosity, sacrifice, and obedience. I want to rehearse very, very quickly a talk that I gave on the 26th of April. Again, if you missed that, you might want to download it. It was called Sowing and Reaping. And I go into more detail about the finances and so on. It's just the headlines this morning, because time is short. But in short, we felt under God as a PCC, and we took quite some time to sift through and pray through the budget. What should be our budgeted expenditure? And it, with all the things that we felt God was calling us to do, it came to £165,000. And I just want very briefly to tell you where that money goes, so that you may have confidence as you give to the Lord as part of your worship. You may have confidence that in giving to the Lord in practical terms to the church here, you know where it's going. It's going, first of all, on ministry, serving others. And about a third of that sum that goes on ministry goes on staff costs. We have, as you know, a wonderful administrator, parish office manager, Elizabeth, who does, she organizes me, basically, and others around, and just keeps so much of the sort of show on the road. It's fantastic. We have a verger, part-time, who we pay. We have a Nicholas, who cleans the church, and we pay him a little bit as well. It's wonderful that we're able to resource people like Henrietta, our ordinand in training. It's wonderful that we can resource Jamie, who's joining us, and you've seen him worshiping and his gifts and abilities. So there are some staff costs, if you like, there. But essentially, ministry, the big sum of ministry finances goes towards the common fund. Each church is invited to contribute to the common cause of Anglican churches in our sort of area. I personally am delighted that although it's a significant sum of money, it goes to sponsor someone like Jim and Leslie Tate, who beaver away on the White City estate in a church where I don't think many of that congregation, if I may say, have got two pennies to rub together. They can't support their church and their ministry all on their own. And we are called to join alongside them in their mission and their work. And we can do that in practical terms, financially, as we contribute to the common fund. We think that God has given to us generously. And so we want to give to others generously in ministry, those looking to serve others. And so we release some staff here in order to undergird that work, and we release other ministries elsewhere through the common fund. So ministry. Secondly, mission. Reaching others with God's love. And we do that in two ways. One is through our mission partners. That is partnering with people who are taking God's love and God's message out into a needy world. It could be amongst families with HIV in sub-Saharan Africa. It could be amongst the orphans in Russia. Just two of our mission partners. And we partner with them because it's not practically possible for us to go to Africa all the time or for us to go to Russia, but we stand with them. We love them, and we love it when they come to us occasionally and give us feedback and news. We also partner with people right in our city. And we could go with them, but they have the knowledge and the expertise of how to work amongst HIV families in this very city. So Grandmas, which is based in Fulham, and we sponsor them. So a certain amount of our income goes towards partnering other people as they join us and we join with them in mission. But secondly, it's tilting the triangle. If you were to actually look at the figures, it's a relatively small sum of money that we set aside. It's just a few thousand pounds. But the thing I want to point out here is that in tilting the triangle, in encouraging each of us to go out and mission ourselves, to meet with people, the last, the least, the lost, the lonely, it requires a disproportionate amount of funding. I talked last week about the house group that went and painted the lady's flat. What a blessing to her to have her hall painted. What a blessing to the house group. We got on so well. What did it cost? A tin of paint, a couple of rollers. So it doesn't need £10,000 in order to extend the kingdom of God, but every single one of us can play a part. There's a house group thinking about tilting the triangle that are seriously thinking about going once a month on their house group night as part of their worship and part of their mission to go to the local pub. You might say, yeah, right. Give me the details of that house group. I'm joining that one. But there's a pub quiz that takes place in that pub. I don't know whether this is actually going to take, but they're thinking and praying. I love this thinking. They're thinking, why don't we as a group form a team? We'll join the pub quiz. And we'll take part in the pub quiz, and when the quiz is over, we'll just chit-chat with the people around, compare answers, see who beat us, and who do we, and so on. And be a regular Christian presence. What was that song we sang earlier? Shine through me that the world might see. It's the answer to that prayer. Now, I would happily endorse church funds buying a round of drinks for that house group if the idea is that we take what we know when we gather in here, this little holy huddle, and we take that salt and light out there. So I love the fact that there's a house group thinking in those ways. How much does a DVD on parenting cost? I don't know. Not much. But we get one of those. Someone open up a home. Invite a few other parents. Look how many parents there are in this area reflected in this congregation. We put on a little resource just helping all of us who struggle with the responsibility of parenting. We want answers. We want help and support. We lay on one of those. Someone opens up a home. Bit of tea and coffee. We'll cover the costs because it's meeting the needs of people around about. So although it looks like on a balance sheet a relatively small amount of money, it's hugely significant in terms of what it does. And frankly, I'd love to increase that sum because I'd love to see more and more things taking place as a church as we tilt the triangle and head on out as God calls us into our local community, our friends and neighbors. So that is mission. And finally, maintenance. The ministry is all right. I mean, the mission sounds like maintenance, the lights and the heating and the insurances for this building. And you think, oh, how dull. And particularly if you saw the sum of money that can amount to, some of the resourcing, some of the in-house things that we do. But all I want to argue here, and again, I go into this in a bit more detail in April, so download it if that's helpful. It's just that this place represents decades and decades in this area and centuries of Christian worship. This place, for all its leaky roofs and drafts and everything, this building is where people come if they want a wedding or a funeral or a baptism. I've met with a wedding couple in this last week. I've met with a wedding couple, people who wanted to get married here in October. I did a funeral on Friday. I talked to a baptism couple on Wednesday. I'm meeting another baptism couple this Sunday afternoon. People actually fairly regularly still come to us. And what I want to encourage you to see within the context of tilting the triangle is that we have this building. It's a wonderful resource, actually. And we can use it as a basis for more mission. Because people come to us, and we can therefore take that opportunity, being wise in the way we act towards outsiders, to make the most of every opportunity to share the gospel. We can go to them. Now, I want to give you just one or two bits of information, which I hope inspire us to become even more involved here than you already are. If you have the next picture, there's a baptism that I did. The Troutman Dwarfs come about 3 years ago now, I think. And they've moved on, as people often do. But I mentioned the baptisms. I haven't logged up how many hours I spend in preparation visits and in going through the service itself and in meeting people and trying to connect them. And I kind of do that on my own. I'd love company. But the reality is, you know, you're all busy too. But here's the thing. The new Bishop of Kensington has promised St. Dionys a curate, sponsored from central funds, so we wouldn't need to pay their stipend, given us a curate from July 2010, July next year. There will be another ordained full-time member of staff here for at least 3 years. Now, at the moment, we have Henrietta as an ordinand in training, and she can do many ministerial tasks, and it's wonderful. I think she's doing a fantastic job. She's not here this morning. She's off on a placement. And that's the thing. About two-thirds of her week is taken up with training elsewhere, a college and so on. Imagine, in 9 months' time, when we have another ordained member of staff, how many more baptism couples, for example, and inquirers could we meet with and engage with and connect into the life of the church? Or take our children, the next picture. There they are. And you've seen that just the life and the energy that was in the first half of this service. And poof, out they go. You've seen how many children there are in this area. There are 7 schools within a 10-minute walk of this church here. And we have contact with a number of them, not all of them, but a number of them. Here's one of them, Thomas's school. In fact, the baptism couple that I saw on Wednesday came to us because they'd started to come to the church because their elder child goes to Thomas's. And although they had their elder child baptized somewhere else, they thought, actually, we quite like the look and the feel of the family life at St. Dionys. So they've come, I don't know, they may even be here today. I know they were thinking, they said to me, oh, we're really interested in exploring more about this. And so I invited them on Alpha, and I hope they'll come. You see how the story begins to unfold. So all of that comes from maintenance. If actually we keep sort of the bread and butter stuff going, it gives us more mission opportunity. So I want to encourage us to see that, in a sense, maintenance, the kind of boring stuff, which we need to kind of fund, is mission by the back door. It's tilting the triangle with our finances. It's making them work even more creatively. Just two things, if I may, quickly. The first is this. That is the proposed plans for our new notice board outside. You know, if you notice the notice board outside, I kind of hope you haven't. It looks awful. The weatherproof doors, which don't keep the weather out, actually just block you seeing what's on the inside because the bars come across. You never read a poster. It looks tired. And that makes a statement to the thousands and thousands of people who walk up and down Parsons Green from the tube every single day. Oh, tired notice board, tired church. I bet it's probably closed. It's just a museum piece. I remember they used to meet in churches once. They don't know that we're here alive and kicking. And to have a brand spanking new notice board would help. I hope you can see from the design we can have A1 posters or four A4 posters so we can just keep people alive with what's going on, different events, activities, how they can be involved. We could put up the dads and lads thing or the curry night or the decorate the church thing, all sorts of stuff going on, opportunities to invite people as they walk by. We're kind of going out to them. Well, but someone said to me, Tim, what's the point of putting a really nice, neat notice board in that church garden? Let's be honest, it looks pretty grim. It could do with a bit of TLC, tender loving care. So I'd love to explore whether, as part of our maintenance and part of our giving, I wonder whether there are some green-fingered experts who every now and then could just look at a spot of redesign in that garden, just tidy and spruce it up so we've got a decent board and a decent garden so that when the hundreds and hundreds walk by, they see, this organization, this building means business. I wonder what's behind it. I wonder who's behind it. We reach out to them through our maintenance. I'm coming into land. I just want to say, next slide. Oh, there, that's what it'll look like. There's the old one. There's the new one. We're waiting for permissions to come through. So we're not quite there yet. We need planning permission and church permission. But eventually, God willing, let's have the next picture. Yeah, and if you just click again, because the message is, it'll come in a minute. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I boast about you when I go elsewhere. I'm full of pride. I hope it's the right kind of pride. When I meet with fellow clergy, and some of them are, you know, they have enormous churches, and most of the people are kind of just passengers, frankly. You guys are plugged in. You're fully involved. I look down the list of volunteers, be it helping on the AV, who come in early, come in before I'm here, to set up, or the coffee team who've already set all the coffee up ready for you, or the people manning the creche, the staff in the creche here. There are people who've prepared sessions for the children midweek in their own time in the children's groups there. There are people who do all sorts of things behind the scenes. You guys, thank you. Thank you. And all I'm wanting to ask is that you'd consider in these next few moments, and as we come towards communion together, by way of a kind of an appraisal in our housekeeping season. Are there ways in which you could give freshly or give even more? It could be in terms of your time volunteering, in terms of your energy or expertise. There may be things you want to offer to serve the Lord and to honor him. Then just please come, let us know. If you see a gap and you'd like to fill it, something we're not doing, we should be doing, let us know. We'd love to just encourage vision, enthusiasm, a sense of call. And I'd love to just to encourage you to think about financial giving as part of your whole service to the Lord. Again, I recognize that some right now you're not in a position to give financially at all. I quite understand that. Others of you, you want time to think about it and to pray, to reflect on what the Bible teaches about giving, what the Lord is asking you to give by way of response. This sheet here, and I'll have it on this podium here, just at the front, you can come and collect it as we sort of walk forward by way of response to the table. Then there's a sheet here with our understanding of what God teaches about giving financially towards the work of his church. It may be that if you give occasionally, but actually the Lord is calling you to give on a regular basis, that so helps our budgeting. We love any kind of gift. It's all gratefully received. Thank you. But if you feel that the Lord is prompting you to be able to give on a regular basis, either weekly or monthly or quarterly, then if you could fill in one of these green standing order forms, it helps us to know kind of what income we could begin to anticipate in order that we can plan to do more and more of these activities that I've been outlining this morning. So those green forms will be there at the back as well. And all because Paul says in the heart of prayerfulness and thankfulness, be wise in the way we act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Amen.